Reading again from 21. Jesus said to the disciples, "Go into the village over there, and as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone asks what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." And then later, most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Hosanna for the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all hearts be acceptable in your sight, Almighty God, our rock and our redeemer. All glory and honor is yours, Lord, now and forever. Amen. Well, things can sure change in a hurry, can't they? Just yesterday when I went to Fredericksburg to visit Doris, she told me everything changed in about 3 seconds. When she went outside to just turn on the water faucet and caught her heel on a rock. 1 second she was upright and the next second she was down on the ground. We've all experienced something like that at some time in our lives, I'm sure. Life doesn't come with too many guarantees for even the most organized among us. Planning and visioning, while important, can't always produce the desired results. We need to plan, we need to organize, we need to think about what the desired outcome of any situation might look like, but we also need to be ready with a backup plan. We need to be ready to take a step in a different direction, and to be open to the way things unfold in front of us instead of open only to what we see as the plan. It's sort of like that old story. Many of you might have heard this story. It reminds me of how many times, even when facts are right in our faces, unless it's exactly what we planned, we can't even see it. There was a guy, I know you've heard this, some of you, probably most of you, but there's a guy, and he's at this at his house in his neighborhood, and it starts raining. And so pretty soon it looks like things are going to flood, and so his neighbors come by, and they say, come on, we're going to have a lot of rain. You need to come with us so we can go get shelter." And he said, no, God will save me." They said, okay. And so pretty soon the water started flooding so badly that he had to go to the second floor of his house. And some people came by in a boat, and they saw him through the window, and they said, come on, get in the boat with us, and we'll save you." And he said, no, God is going to save me." So they went on their way, and after a while, the water got so deep that the man found himself up on the roof. And pretty soon, a helicopter came by, and they dropped the ladder out of the helicopter, and they said, "Come, get on the ladder, we'll save you." And he said, "No, that's okay, God's going to save me." Well, you know what happens next. The water engulfed him and he drowned. And he found himself in front of God in heaven. And he said to God, "Why didn't you save me?" And God said, "I sent a neighbor, I sent a guy in a boat, and I sent a helicopter. You refused all help." And that's kind of how we get sometimes. We're so sure that our way of seeing things is the only way that when an alternative plan comes by, or when circumstances change in 3 seconds, we can find ourselves completely unprepared. And that's kind of like what Holy Week is. We are beginning Holy Week today. And today we came in chaos and waving our palms and having all kinds of fun. And next Sunday is Easter, Resurrection Day, and we'll be doing the same kind of celebratory worship. Thursday and Friday, not so much. And a lot of people skip Thursday and Friday because they say, those are the sad services. I don't want to go to those sad services. And yet, when we don't embrace that hard part, we can be left without hearing and seeing and experiencing the true, true story. If you look at Holy Week, you can tell that Jesus' last week on earth must have been exhausting and anything but holy. It was, as a matter of fact, pretty, pretty tough. And I won't give you the details of that week. I'm going to hope that you get here on Thursday to find out some of what happens. But we really can't do justice to a whole week in 15 or 20 minutes. And so that's why today we will be talking just about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So I begin today with a disclaimer. I believe that trying to squeeze that entire week into just a few minutes today doesn't do it justice, and it robs us of our own story. So that being said, I'll see you on Thursday or Friday at 7 o'clock so that you can experience, as Paul Harvey always said, the rest of the story. Now, each gospel account gives us a picture of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and all four of them are different. Only John actually mentions palms. Matthew and Mark talk about people cutting branches, and Luke doesn't include any greenery at all. John has Jesus going into Jerusalem alone. Luke has the disciples praising Jesus and declaring his miracles. Mark, as always, has a more restrained approach, very few details, just the facts, ma'am, no drama. And Matthew includes children, two donkeys, and prophetic fulfillment in his version of this story. Now, that day must have been so, so exciting. It all started when Jesus asked those two disciples to go and find a donkey colt and a mama donkey on the edge of town. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, riding on the donkey and leading the other one, the people who lined the streets were filled with hope and expectation. Many of them were sure that the Messiah that they had dreamed of and prayed for had finally arrived, and that their troubles would soon be over. Troubles that included an oppressive government, unfair taxation, poverty, and all kinds of hardship. Any number of troubles that human beings for centuries have had in one way or the other. But the fact is, at the beginning of the week, when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, they were filled with hope that Jesus would save them from all of that. But by the end of the week, they're demanding that he be crucified. The government by the end of the week was still oppressive. They were still poor, and they still had to pay all those terrible taxes. And all I need to do is remind you right now that they were in Jerusalem. Anybody remember what happened in Jerusalem, chapter 2, when the Magi were on their way and Herod found out that this new king had been born? It says, Herod was disturbed and the whole city with him. It makes me think that Jerusalem must be a rather anxious place. So they wanted answers quick, and they wanted their lives to change on a dime, but they wanted it to happen in the way that they had planned. Now, all of this makes me wonder, when we say, Lord, save us, what are we really asking for? Because that word Hosanna, in its most literal translation from the Hebrew, means save or rescue. So when the crowds are saying Hosanna, they're saying, Lord, save us. Lord, rescue us. And they continue to holler at Jesus and say, Lord, save us. And I wonder if maybe we're not those people on the side of the road saying, Lord, save us, and then holding it against Jesus when he doesn't deliver the way we think he should. Jesus will change our lives, but only when we're willing to do the hard work of walking with him on the road instead of standing on the side demanding salvation. Walking the distance with God is no easy proposition. It includes coming face to face with who we are and with who God is. It includes becoming more like Christ and less like us. It includes becoming the person that God created us to be. And it includes our living into the image of God, that image that was placed into us before we were even born. God created us in his image. And when we're really, really honest with ourselves, I think that we will agree that at least to some extent, we are guilty of trying to create God in our image. Aren't we guilty of expecting God to be like us and then holding it against him when he doesn't act like we think he should? We have this crazy idea that when things are going well, God has found favor with us, and we have the equally crazy idea that when things are going bad in our lives, it means that God has given up on us or has found disfavor with us in some way. God is who God is. Many of you have heard of those children's books, The Chronicles of Narnia. I bet y'all have. Even if they haven't, I bet that. They've heard of them. There are five. They were written by C.S. Lewis. And the main character, one of the main characters in all five books, is named Aslan. Aslan is this big lion. And throughout the five books, Aslan is the Christ figure. He represents Christ in these books. And throughout all five books, Aslan shows mercy and love and forgiveness to the children time and time and time again. And yet, they are often reminded that Aslan is not a tame lion. We want God to be tame enough for us to control, but strong enough to do anything we want him to do. But that's not who God is. The very day after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he was in the temple court turning over the tables, and at least in John's gospel, he was whipping people with whips. We do not serve a tame God. The fact that Jesus rode peacefully into Jerusalem on an unbroken donkey tells us that he is the one who does the taming. We want to tame God, and all the while God is trying to tame us. We want God to change our circumstances, but we don't want God to change us. We refuse to be tamed. Lord, save us from ourselves. When God saves us, change happens. And it's important for us to learn to live a different way in our own skin. If we're resistant to the change brought about salvation, although God's offer is permanent, many of us refuse or turn away from the offer when we find out that it's just not what we were expecting. Kind of like that guy on the roof with the helicopter. He'd have been a lot better off just walking out the door the first time. The people on the side of the road that day were looking for instant answers, not for opportunities to grow. They just wanted Jesus to wave his magic wand like Harry Potter and make all of their troubles just go away. That might explain why they changed their tune by the end of the week. You see, it turns out that Jesus is God, not a magician. We should expect Jesus to be assertive and bold. We should expect Jesus to be bigger than anything we can even imagine. We should expect Jesus to be a little wild, not tame. We should expect Jesus to be Jesus, not someone who will just change our circumstances without doing us the great favor of helping us change from the inside out. He will help us live our lives according to God's plan if we just let him. In a poem entitled Ask Me, William Stafford gives us this thought. He says, ask me whether what I have done is my life. Jesus lived his life according to God's plan. He lived the life he was given. He didn't try to avoid his destiny. Paula D'Arcy says, this is the life you were given. Live this life, not the one you wish you had been given. Salvation allows us to live freely without worry or anxiety. It allows us to live as people who have been forgiven and who are loved unconditionally. It allows us to live into our destiny, whatever that is. It was Jesus' destiny to be wildly acclaimed at the beginning of the week and crucified just a few days later. He didn't try to avoid that. He lived into it. The people expected him to bask in their acclaim so that all of that praise and adoration would cause him to do for them whatever they asked. They believed he would give them what they wanted, to be saved from having to live out their own lives in the way they were created to live. They expected to tame Jesus, but the bottom line is this: they didn't realize who they were dealing with. Now, we know all of that now. It's kind of easy for us to sit and look back on that. They didn't know it that day. They had one thought, and it didn't turn out the way they thought it would. All they knew was that Jesus had arrived. They knew he was a miracle worker, and they were looking for miracles to happen in their lives. They didn't realize that Jesus didn't come to save us from hardship. Jesus came to save us for eternal life. Today is a day of celebration. It is Palm Sunday. We celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. The Passion will come later this week, so we don't want to get ahead of ourselves right now. Let's not allow the knowledge of coming difficulty to diminish our joy here today. Jesus is preparing the road ahead, and when we meet him, will we know what to expect? Will we be disappointed because things don't turn out the way we think they should? The only thing we can expect from Jesus is faithfulness, mercy, and love, and those he gives in abundance. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.